Today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Dalet. And we are Be'ezras Hashem in the beginning of a new perek, the eighth perek of Meseches Chulin, perek Kol HaBasar, three lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Gimel Amid Beis. So, perek Kol HaBasar, believe it or not, might be the perek in Meseches Chulin. So there's a lot of candidates for what the perek with the Hey Ayidia within the Masechta with the Hey Ayidia is. Perek Kol HaBasar is definitely a finalist. The topic of Perek Kol HaBasar is the laws of Basar v'Cholav, which very much is a continuation of the latter part of Perek Yid Hanasha, which discussed halachas related to Taruvos of Issur V'Heter. So let's just set this up a tiny bit, and then Be'ezus Hashem, in today's Raid Bite, we'll talk a lot more about the Issur Basar V'Cholav, and in the coming Dafin and in the coming Raid, we will Be'ezus Hashem double and triple down on that. So everyone knows that a Jew is not allowed to eat meat and milk together. Truth is, this is one of the biggest chidushim in the entire Torah. In fact, it's a Lashon HaGemara, Basar V'Cholav Chidushu. Why? Because Hailuchu Dei Shari V'Hailuchu Dei Shari. Meat, you're allowed to eat, and milk, you're allowed to drink. Yet, if you created a taruvos of basar and cholov together, all of a sudden, this new found meichel becomes aser on the level of nevela, on the level of treifa, on the level of the chazer, of the sheretz, all the things that the Torah says you're not allowed to eat, basar v'cholov falls into that same exact category. It's interesting, the Torah doesn't say anywhere that you're not allowed to eat basar v'cholav together. What the Torah does say is, you're not allowed to cook a goat in its mother's milk. Or, more simply, you're not allowed to cook meat and milk together. But the Torah doesn't just say once. It doesn't even only say it twice. It says it's mdritimol. It says three times in the Torah. It's in Parshas Mishpatim. It's in Parshas Kisisa, and it was in last week's Parsha. In Parshas Re'eh as well. And from the fact that the Torah said three times, Chazal learned that one time is coming to teach me the Pshutei Shel Mikra. You now let a cook meat and milk together. Another time, coming to teach me, you're not allowed to eat meat and milk together. And the third time is coming to tell me, you're not even allowed to have hana, you can't even benefit from meat and milk that's together. Now, from the fact that the Torah wrote the Issur Basar V'Cholav in such an interesting way, three times, but didn't say you shouldn't eat meat and milk together, Chazal learned a lot of halachas. The most notable and the most critical halacha that really underpins all of Perek Basar V'Cholav, and that is that the only time one is mid-da'iraisa, not allowed to eat basar and cholav together, is if the basar and the cholav were cooked together, or something that is synonymous with cooking. Roasted together, fried together, but it's only if it's derech bishul that asra taira. But if a person would eat meat and milk together, not derech bishul, he would not be over in issa deraisa. Now in issa derabanan for sure he would be over. The fact is, even in issa derabanan, not to drink milk within a certain time frame after you ate meat. The infamous 6 hours, which, by the way, has a makar in tomorrow's daf. But the point is that being that the Torah didn't simply say, thou shalt not eat meat and milk together, rather the Torah said, le'savashal gadiba chalev imoy, from there we learn derech bishul asra Torah. This is the shortest hakdama to the laws of basar v'cholav possible. We're going to be tafasta mu'et tafasta. And without further ado, we're going to jump in to the very first, albeit slightly light daf. Says the Mishnah, kol habasar asa levashu b'cholav. All basar, one is not allowed to cook together with cholav. Chutz mi basar dog in the chagavim. With the exception of the meat of fish and the meat of grasshoppers. So all basar is asar to be cooked together with cholav. What not? So you have to read the not such fine print. Dogim, you'll add a cook together with chalav. And chagavim, which we don't eat today anyways, but grasshoppers also, you'll add a cook together with chalav. So what's included in kol habasar? Basar behema, basar chaya, and basar oif. Ashi says that this opening line of the parak is really a little bit of a chiddush, because in the Torah it says lo savashal gedi, so you could have thought that it's only goat's meat, but other basa behema or basa chaya or basa roif maybe would not be included. That's the opening chiddush of this parak. Kol habasar is asar. Additionally, vasa lahalos imagvina ala shulchan. It's asar not only to cook the basar together with the chalav. Oh, and by the way, eat and benefit from that as well. But it's also asar, says the Mishnah, to put it together with gvina on a table. Chutz, again, mi basar dagan v'chagavim. So all basar you're not allowed to put on the shulchan together with gvina, with the exception of dagan v'chagavim. We're showing a much a little bit. Why did the first halacha of the Mishnah discuss basar and chalav, and the second halacha of the Mishnah discusses basar and gvina, right? Chalav and gvina are synonymous in the sugyas of basar and chalav. It's a meat product and it's a dairy product. But either way, the second halacha of the Mishnah is that not only is there an iser to cook, eat, and benefit from basar and chalav, but you can't even have the two on the table at the same time. So if I'm sitting down and I'm having a steak dinner, there can't be any gvina on the table. And then finally, the third halacha of the mission is, someone makes a neder and he says, I'm not going to have any anna from basar. So what kind of basar is included? It's all basar with the exception of the chagavim. In other words, it's basar behema, it's basar chaya, and it's basar oif. It's not basar Dogim v'chagavim. Either way, what's the sikkum of the Mishnah? Mishnah is discussing the laws of basar v'chalav. Clearly, the Mishnah teaches me what type of basar is included in the definition of basar. It's all basar with the exception of dogim v'chagavim, meaning behema, chaya, and oif is considered basar, as opposed to dogim v'chagavim is not. Where's in a gay in the laws of basar v'chalav? Two areas. Number one, with regards to bishul, which doesn't only mean bishul, means everything that's learned from leisavashul gediba chalevimoy, which is bishul achila and hana, and it's also with regards to this extra halacha of asala halos imagvino ala shulchan, where you're not allowed to even sit at a table, eat meat or eat dairy if there's going to be from the other min that's going to be there. And then finally, we mentioned where you have a definition of basar and it means dafka behema chayev oif as opposed to dogim v'chagavim. So I'll throw in b'derech agav another area in halacha where this is negeya, and that is in hilchas nedarim. If somebody will make a neder that I'm not going to have any hana from basar, muter bebasar dogim v'chagavim, you would be allowed to have hana from basar dogim and from basar chagavim. Now, just one point as a hakdama to the Gemara, and that is the first halach of the Mishnah, kol ha-basa asal of ashal b'chalav chutz mi-basa dagav chagavim, is for sure discussing a din d'irais. Lo yisavashal gdi b'chalev ima is mentioned in the Torah, it says it three times, it's a bishul, it's a achila, it's a anah. But the ikar halach of the Mishnah, that kol ha-basa asal of ashal b'chalav, that of course is an isa d'irais. The next halacha, asal ha-halo isa magvina ala shulchan chutz mi-basa dagav chagavim, that's an isa d'rabban. Doesn't say anywhere in the Torah you're not allowed to eat at a table fleishiks if there's going to be some dairy product on it. K'muvin, that's only isa d'rabban. Additionally, when the Mishnah concludes and says, "Hanoidim and abasam mutar bebasa dagim v'chagavim." Even though that last part of the Mishnah is very symmetrical with the first part of the Mishnah, that's why it's even mentioned. Right? What's the theme of the Mishnah? That when we define basar, it means behem chay v'oif, but it's chutz mi basa dagim v'chagavim. So it's negay the laws of basar v'chalav. It's also negay hilchas nedar. But as it relates to Hilchas Nedarim, the time of Dikra, the reason for the Mishnah, is completely different than as it relates to Basar V'Chalav. The reason when it comes to Basar V'Chalav, Dogim V'Chagavim are excluded is because from a halachic perspective, we say that Basar Dogim and Basar Chagavim is not Basar. So when we include all basar in the lav of leisavash gedi b'chalevima, it means whatever the Torah defines as basar. And the Torah's definition of basar is going to be behema chaya v'oif, as opposed to dogim v'chagavim. And even the Rabbanon that went and they expanded perhaps on the definition of basar, but they too did not expand it so far to include in it dogim v'chagavim. But it's more in terms of the definition of basar in the Torah, the definition of basar by Chazal, that it means all basa with the exception of dogim v'chagavim. Hanoidim and abasa mutter b'basa dogim v'chagavim is a whole different halacha. And the reason is because when it comes to nedarim, definitions are not based on the way the Torah defines words, and it's not even based on the way Chazal define words. But b'nedarim hilchenach aloshim b'nayadim. This is one of the basic rules of hilchas nedarim, which means that what the Mishnah means when it says hanoidim and abasa mutter b'basa dogim v'chagavim, that when a person says the word basar, he doesn't mean dogim v'chagavim. What he means is behema chaya va'if. So the first two halachas in the Mishnah is more in terms of the Torah's / Chazal's definition of what basar is. The last line of the Mishnah is more in terms of what the Lashon Bnei Adam's definition of basar is. Either way, there's a tzad hashava between the three halachas. There's an iser to cook basar v'chalav. What's the definition of basar? It's behema chaya va'if. Lafuke chutz from dogim v'chagavim. There's an issa derabbanon lahalos basar in magvina al hashulchan. What's the definition of basar? Again, behema chay v'oif chutz midogim v'chagavim. And the halachas anoidim in a basar obviously is not allowed to have enough from basar. But what's the definition of basar? Again, it's behema chay v'oif chutz midogim v'chagavim. Says the Gemara. So the Mishnah began, kol basar asa levasha b'cholav chutz mi basar dogim v'chagavim. Ha'oif, it sounds like oif, asa midei raisa, is asar, and not only is it asar, it's asa midei raisa. Now let's just hit the pause button immediately. The fact that oif is asar, that's clear. The Mishnah said all basar is asar with the exception of dogim v'chagavim, clearly implying that if you're not a dag, you're not a chagav, you're going to be asr. An oif is not a dag, it's not a chagav, and as a result, it's going to be included in the isr. Where do you see that it's asr midei raisa? The Mishnah didn't say a word about isr midei raisa. Kol abasar, asr levashal. Meichet tesi, it's asr midei raisa. So Rashi says, first Rashi on the Gemara, kasol kadaitach, the Gemara's instinctive reaction to the Mishnah is that hay iser demasnisa midei raisa kama. That probably the iser of the Mishnah is an iser de raisa. Meaning, being that we know loy savashu gdi b'chalev ima is an iser de raisa, and you're telling me kol abasar is included in this iser, with the exception of dogim v'chagavim. So probably you mean it's included in the ikur iser de raisa. So the Gemara makes a diya, kol oif asa midei raisa. It sounds like basar oif v'chalav is something that is forbidden midei raisa. Zok the Gemara, kaman, who then must the Mishnah be? The like Rabbi Kiva, it has to be like Rabbi Kiva. Because if it's Rabbi Akiva ha'amar, Rabbi Akiva has a shita lekaman daf kuf yud gimel. So later in the parak, the chayiv oif inim in atayra, that midday raisa only basa behemas also with chalav, but chayiv oif is not asa min atayra. So if the Mishnah is mashma that basar oif v'chalav is an isadei raisa, it must be the like Rabbi Akiva, which Rabbi Akiva, who we're going to see later in the parak, who holds basar oif and chaya, by the way, is only asa mid rabban for the Gemara. But if that's the case, ema seifa, take a look at the seifa, the last line of the Mishnah, the hilchas nedarim part of the Mishnah, neidim and abasar mutav basar dogim v'chagav. Somebody makes a neder, he's not going to have enough from basar, so you're not allowed to have the hana from basar behem chayva oif, but you are allowed to have anasna from basar dogim v'chagav. Oif, again, this diik, oif asa, you see, clearly is asa, asa Rabbi Akiva. This is only true according to Rabbi Akiva, the Amar who holds in the laws of Nedarim, kol mili demim l'chaleh shliach bar minehu, that any time if somebody would send a shliach to go buy something, and the shliach wouldn't see exactly what he was sent to buy, but he would see something similar, to the extent that he would reach out to his mishalech and tell him, you know, I couldn't find X, but I found Y, should I buy it? If the shliach would ask that question, that means Y is considered the same min as X. This is the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. What's the background to it? The Tanya. If somebody makes a neder, he's not going to have enough from a yerek. Loosely translated, a vegetable. Mutabidiluin, the halacha is, he's allowed to have hanav from gourds. Rabbi Akiva oiser. Rabbi Akiva said, you're not allowed to. Now, the Chachamim held mutabidiluin, because they held diluin is not like a yerek. Pashup shat is, because a yerek, vegetables are eaten raw, and diluin, people don't eat raw. But Rabbi Akiva said no. Rabbi Akiva said that diluin is considered the same min as yerek, and I'll prove it to you. I'm related to Rabbi Akiva, but first the Rabbanan told Rabbi Akiva, follow Yomer Adam Lishluchai, a person will tell a shliach, kach lanu yerek, right? What happens if a person tells the shliach, you go to the store and buy for me or for us a vegetable? For who Yomer, the shliach will say, loy matzasi ela deluin. Meaning, if he only finds deluin, is he going to buy it? No way. He's going to reach out to his mishalech. He's going to say, you know, I'm sorry, I couldn't find Yerek. I was able to find the Lewin. So the Rabbanan told Rabbi Kiva, what are you seeing from here? That the Lewin is not a Yerek. Because if the Lewin is a Yerek, So why is he reaching back to the Meshaleach, right? If he found carrots, he would just buy it. So how come you're not just buying the Deluin? Oh, must be Deluin is not Yerek. Amar lehen, Rabbi Akiva told the Chachamim, Kein Hadavar. I agree with what you just said, and by the way, that's my raya to my shita. Why? Because Klum Maimer, let me ask, in that same exact situation, where somebody tells the Shliach, go buy me Yerokas. And he couldn't find Yerokas, but he was able to find Kitnias. Would he say, Le Matzasi Ela Kitnias? He wouldn't say that, why not? Because Kitnias has no Shaychis to Yerokas, right? They're completely different. So then why is he saying, I couldn't find your ruckus, but I was able to find the Luin? Oh, it's because you acknowledge that the Luin is me inyan le inyan ba'isa inyan to your ruckus. Now, it's not mamish yerek, but it's also not mamish not yerek. But what do you see from here? Elisha, the Luin b'chal yerek. The Luin must be b'chal yerek. The in kitness b'chal yerek. And kitness is not b'chal yerek. In other words, we have a machloikis Rabbi Kivin the Chachamim in the laws of Nedarim, where you have something that's not mamish, the same min, but it's also not mamish, not the same min. You can't definitively with a straight face tell me it's the same min, but you also can't definitively with a straight face tell me it's not the same min. According to the Chachamim, we view it as not being the same min. According to Rabbi Akiva, we view it as being the same min. The way Chazal described this case is where if somebody would send a shliach to buy a specific min, and he couldn't find it, but he found this other thing, and as a result, he would ask the Mishalech, should I buy it or not? That's a raya that it's not mamish the min, but also that it's not mamish not the min. In the world of Rabbi Akiva, it's the same min. In the world of the Chachamim, it's not the same min. That's why Hanoidim and Ayerek mutab diluim in the world of the Chachamim, Rabbi Akiva oisim. Now the Gemara argues that as it relates to the basar of oif and the basar of Chaya, let's talk specifically about Oif, it's somewhat the same min as Basar, but it's also not so much the same min as Basar. And if the Mishnah says that Hanoida ben HaBasar is Mutab HaBasar Dagav HaChagavim HaOif HaSura, so what do you see from here? That the Tana of the Mishnah is of the opinion that something that's in between, the proverbial Diluin as it relates to Yerek, is going to be Asar. Whose Shita is that? It's the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, which means Hanoida ben HaBasar Mutab HaBasar Dagav HaChagavim, which seemed like a very innocent line, really is B'machloikis Shnuya, it's telling the Machloikis Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, because Basar Oif relative to the general term basar is not mamish basar, it's also not mamish not basar. It's like Deluin is to Yerokas. And from the fact that the Mishnah says Asabaif, that's a raya that the Mishnah must be going according to Rabbi Akiva. So if you're keeping Cheshbin, we said that the first part of the Mishnah, Kol HaBasar Asa Levashel B'Cholov, and it's Mashma, even Basar Oif, and it's Mashma Midei Rai, so that must be the like Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva holds later in the Perek that Basar Oif B'Cholov is only Asa Midei Rabbanan. The next part of the Mishnah, Hanoidim and Abasar Mutab HaBasar Dagav V'Chagavim, that is Shitas Rabbi Akiva, the laws in the Darim. So afraid the Gemara Reisha Rabbanan V'Seif Rabbi Akiva. Is it possible? Is it tenable to say that the first part of the Mishnah is Dafka the Rabbanan, not like Rabbi Akiva, and the next part of the Mishnah is Dafka Rabbi Akiva, not like the Rabbanan? I'm Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef is the first Teretz. The Gemara says, yeah, why not? Rabbi, the Tanya of the Mishnah is not Rabbi Akiva. It's not the Rabbanan who achalik Rabbi Akiva, who wrote the Mishnah. Sort of. Rebbe did. Okay. And Rebbe had a right to pick and choose between different machloikas and whether he holds like Rabbi Akiva. Doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva. When it comes to the laws of Nedarim, so like Rabbi Akiva. He holds that something that's in between, it's not mamish, but also not mamish not. He holds it's the same min. Thus, he holds Hanoidim and Ayerek, Asib Diluin, and Hanoidim and Abasar is going to be Asib Abasar Oif, Bibasar V'Cholov. However, as it relates to the laws of Basar V'Cholov, so like Rabbanon. Over there, he holds like the Rabbanon, who hold that basar oif and chalav is aser midde oi raisa, not just midde rabbanon. And it's for that reason over there he paskind the like Rabbi Akiva. So you're right, the time of the Mishnah can't be Rabbi Akiva because the first part of the Mishnah wouldn't work. It also can't be the Bali Plukt of Rabbi Akiva because then the second part of the Mishnah wouldn't work. The Teretz says it's not Rabbi Akiva, it's not the Rabbanon, it's Rebbe. In Hilchas Nedarim, he holds like Rebbe Akiva. In Hilchas Basel V'Chalav, he doesn't hold like Rebbe Akiva. By the way, these two Rebbe Akivas have nothing to do with each other, right? They're completely unrelated topics. It's not even a doichik to say that. Rebbe in Hilchas Nedarim passing like Rebbe Akiva, and Hilchas Basel V'Chalav, he did not pass on Rebbe Akiva. Rav Ashi is the second teretz. He said, Kulu Rebbe Akiva. No, it could be the time of the Mishnah is Rebbe Akiva. And by the way, why would we want the whole Mishnah to be Rebbe Akiva? They're two different Rebbe Akivas anyways. It's because we know Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir Ali, but Rabbi Akiva. That's where Rabbi Akiva was called. Rabbi Akiva Stimta, Ein Rashi Migol, Daf Beza Meralov, Uba'it Mekainus. But the bottom line is, said Rav Ashni, that really the whole Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. V'achi Kamer, this is where you read the Mishnah. Kol Abasar, or Basar, Asal Vashal B'chalav. You now let it cook with Chalav. Mehen. Midivrei Taira, umehen midivrei Seifrim. Some basar is asim in a Taira, such as basar behema. Some basar is only asim midivrei Seifrim, such as basar chaya and basar roif. Chutz mi basar dogim v'chagovim, and this is all with the exception of basar dogim v'chagovim, she'enam loy midivrei Taira, v'loy midivrei Seifrim. In other words, Rav Ashi said the whole kasha, this whole stira of Reishna Rabban of a Sefer Rabbi Akiva is predicated on a shvach diak. It was predicated on a diak that when the Mishnah said kol abasar also levashel b'cholav chutz mibasar dogim v'chagavim, what did it mean kol abasar also levashel? It meant kol abasar also levashel midei raisa. And if included in kol abasar clearly is chayav oif, that means chayav oif is also midei raisa. And if that's the case, it must be deloy ki Rabbi Akiva. So Rav Ashi didn't say kol abasar also levashel b'cholav midei raisa. It could be kol abasar also levashel. In some situations, midei raisa, it's a pasuk in the Torah, lo yisavash gedi b'chalev imay, but in some situations, it's only going to be midei rabbanan. Midei raisa behema, similar to a gedi, midei rabbanan chaye v'oif. If that's the case, it could stem with Rabbi Akiva, because even though Rabbi Akiva holds basar chaye and basar oif is muta midei raisa, but he agrees it's also midei rabbanan. And as a result, the reisha could be Rabbi Akiva, and the sefer for sure is Rabbi Akiva and Hilchas Nedarim. There's no reason to make a stira. In other words, we have Machloikis Rav Yosef and Rav Ashi had to answer this kasha, Reisha Rabban of a Sefer Rabbi Akiva, which emerges in another Machloikis of who is the Tana of the Mishnah. According to Rav Yosef, Rebbe, V'nasnav la'aliba de Tanoi. According to Rav Ashi, Rabbi Akiva. But even more acutely, as it relates to Pshat in the Mishnah, we have a Machloikis how to read the first line of the Mishnah. Kol abasar asal levashel b'chalav chutz mibasar dogim v'chagavim. According to Rav Yosef, kol abasar asal levashel midei raisa. Behem chay v'oif are all isuri dei raisa. According to Rav Ashi, kol abasar is asal levashel b'chalav mehen b'divrei taira u'mehen b'divrei seifer. Now we started the Gemara, we said that this whole diak, ha'oif asal midei raisa, is a little bit of a shvachadik. At the end of the Gemara, we certainly see that it's a shvachadik because Rav Ashi doesn't even agree with the dik. Now, where was the dik even coming from? Rashi just said, Kosol kadai tachai iser de masnisen midai raisa kamer. But if you take a look at Tosfos, Tosfos learns that this dik was really coming from the next Gemara. And in fact, this very next Gemara, even though we have two dots here all over the place, but really, it's very much a continuation of the first part of the Gemara. The reason there's two dots is because we're going to focus on the next part of the Mishnah. That's usually we have your two dots, and then again, your two dots in the Gemara. But really, it's very much a continuation. Rav Yosef is going to be the one that's talking. What Rav Yosef is going to do is he's going to bring what he believes is a raya, a shmamina, that when the Mishnah says kol abasar asal levashel b'cholav chutz mibasar dogim v'chagavim, and kol abasar includes in it behema chay v'oif, it's mashma that all of it is asa midei raisa. And really, from that raya, I think, it's Tosfos, there will be insight as to why Rav Yosef felt that the diak of kol abasar being asa midei raisa is a diak, which was really the Gemara's initial gisha to the Gemara. Ha'oif asa midei raisa, Tosfos says, was really coming off the heels of the raya that Rabbi Yosef is about to bring. Anyway, so the Mishnah continued and said, v'asa lahalois v'chulu. Not only I now let a cook basar v'chalav together, but you also now let it have basar and Here the Mishnah said for some reason gvina together on the shulchan with the exception of basa dog of chagom. Says the Gemara, Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said shmamina basa if chalom day raiso. I think from this line of the Mishnah you see that basa oif and basa chay also is asa midday raiso together with chalom. This or kodaych the rabbanon. Because if you're going to tell me it's only isa the rabbanon achila guf gzera, the iser achila of basar oif is only asim the rabban. Vanan nigzer hala atu achila. Would it make sense then that we should make a gzera? Don't put oif and gvina together on the table and sit down and eat. Atu, you may go ahead and actually eat it. If when you eat it, it's only an iser the rabban, and why are we making a gzera? Why are we making a gzera atu something that would only be asim the rabban? Now, what's this known as? Making a gzeira atu something that's only asa b'drabanan. It's known as a gzeira the gzeira. So we know Chazal made a lot of gzeiras, right? Come out, every drabanan is a gzeira of some sorts. Chazal made a lot of gzeiras. But we make gzeiras to protect ourselves from anissa de raisa. Don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah shechalias b'shabes. Gzeira shemi yaviren udalan amas b'shus ram. You'll be over anissa de raisa. But to make a gzeira atu, you might do something that's only asa b'drabanan. That's what's known as a gzeira le gzeira. And in the rules and regulations of gzeiras, that's not something that we ordinarily do. So zok Rav Yosef Amor de Gazach. You see from the Mishnah that not only are you not allowed to cook, eat, and have hana from basar, oif, and chalav, but also lahalois and magvina. It's something that you now have to put on the table together. So Bishlam, if you're going to tell me the basar oif v'chalav is an iser day raisa, so I understand why there's an iser ala. It's a gzera atu. You shouldn't come to eat it together, which would be an iser day raisa. But if you're going to tell me the basar oif v'chalav is only an iser rabbanon, so that would mean that why did the rabbanon make it aser? Probably as a gzera atu. Gzera atu what? Gzera atu basar behema v'chalav. So if that itself is only a gzera, so you're making now a double gzera, a gzera le gzera, l'chair, that's not something that you ever do. So Rav Yosef must be basar oif v'chalav as an issa de raisa. It's chad gzera, it's not a gzera le gzera. So Rav Yosef vayit, u'minot temer t'loi gazrin a gzera le gzera. How do you know that you don't make a gzera le gzera? Now Tosfos asks a bumbakasho here. He says, u'minot temer t'loi gazrin a gzera le gzera. We just made a big deal about this, that in the rules and regulations of gzeiras, you never make a gzeira l'gzeira. So Tosfos says that's true. That's true. Tosfos says bekama bekoymes. If you take a look at Dibra Maskum, not Tamro. Amar he gufa gzeira v'anat nekam v'nigzer gzeira l'gzeira. Beperek kama de Shabbos ubeperek b'mem adlikin ubereish beya. See, usually the Gemara, if it invokes gzeira l'gzeira, it doesn't say u'minat Tamro. How do I know that you don't say gzeira l'gzeira? In fact, Tosfos says, I'll tell you something even more interesting. Sometimes we actually do make a gzeira l'gzeira. Even though the rule says you don't make Zera L'Gzera, I'll find you cases where you do make Zera L'Gzera. Tosfos says this Gemara is like somewhere in between. This Gemara holds you don't make Zera L'Gzera, but you need a makar that you don't make Zera L'Gzera. And Tosfos says these are not steerers, because not all Gzeras were created equally. This is actually a very famous Tosfos. Ein l'damos Gzeras chachamim zu l'zu. That's why when it comes to Gzera, it's very hard to shtaltzu. Oh, if Chazal made a Gzera here, then it makes sense we should make the Gzera here too. Ein l'damos Gzeras chachamim zu l'zu. You see it from the way the Gemara tackles Gzera L'Gzera. Sometimes it's pashut that you don't make Gzera L'Gzera. Sometimes you actually do make Gzera L'Gzera. And then like in our snugia, Rabbi Yosef holds it's pasha, you wouldn't make gzeira l'gzeira, but I would have to have a makar to it. There would have to be a source. So the bottom line is, again, Rabbi Yosef is bringing a raya that the Mishnah holds basar oif v'chalav is aser midday raisa from the fact that we made gzeira, because if it's only aser midrabanan, then the gzeira for it would be a gzeira l'gzeira, but at the same time he felt that he needed a makar that you don't make this gzeira l'gzeira. So here is the makar. You're not tamer again the lake in gzeira l'gzeira. It's time we learned in the Mishnah. This Mishnah is in the fourth parak of Masechtes Chala. Chala is Chutz La'aretz. So Chala that was made from wheat that grew in Chutz La'aretz, Necheles im Hazar al HaShulchan, is allowed to be eaten by a Kohen together with a Zar on the same table. Why would you think not? Because you'd be afraid that maybe the Zar is going to eat from it. And a Zar is not allowed to eat Chala. So when it comes to challahs, Eretz Yisrael, where the challah is a real challah, it's midday raisa, and if a zar would eat it, it'd be chai misa midday shamayim. So over there we say that he can't eat it together with his zar on the same table. But being that it's challahs chutz laretz, I'm not so worried about it. Another halach, that's nugei challahs chutz laretz, v'niteles lakol koyin sheyirtza. Not just that, you're allowed to give it to any kohen that you want. Rashi says, even to a kohen am haaretz. Ordinarily, you're not supposed to give chumas to maestres and the challah to a kohen that's an Am Haaretz, but when it comes to challahs chutz la'aretz, we treat it more leniently, give it to any kohen that you want. Even if you want to give it to an Am Haaretz, that's going to be okay. Says Rabbi Yosef, what do you see from here? You see from here that challahs chutz la'aretz, which is also lazar mid'rabbanon, Chazal didn't take it so far to say that being that it's aser, so therefore a kohen shouldn't be able to eat it at the same table with a zar. Now, chalas Eretz Yisrael, a zar is not let eat at the same table with a kohen. But chalas chutz la'aretz is different. There it's mokuladik. Why? It must be because eating at the same table with a kohen is only going to be an issa derabanan. It's a gzera. If the zar is going to have his sandwich, and the kohen's going to have his sandwich, and the kohen's sandwich is going to be challah, what happens if he says, you want to take a bite out of my tuna sandwich? You're going to enjoy it. I'm telling you. Ah, we're very worried about that. And as a result, we had to make a gzera. So where, if the zar would do it, he'd be over in Issa deraisa, then it makes sense to make the gzera. But with the whole thing is, anyways, in this the rabbanon, because we're dealing with chalas chutz la'aretz, so now it's only gzeira le'adina. Says Rabbi Yosef, a perfect comp to the sugi that we're learning right here. Why? Because in our sugi, it's mamish the same exact thing. We're dining whether or not it should be usur to sit down, eat meat on a table with his gvina. It's almost the exact same case where the czar and the kohen can eat together on the same table. Are you worried? Oh, you may mix the foods. That's exactly what's going on over here. And just like you see from the laws of challah, that we only are worried about Shulchan Echad when it comes to the Raisas, not when it comes to the Rabbanon. So it makes sense by Basel v'Challah, it should be the same thing. If that's the case, when the Mishnah says Basel v'Challah is a Magvina ala Shulchan, even by Oif, must be because Oif is mid Raisa, Zakt Rabbi Yosef, Shema Mina, Basel Oif v'Challah is Raisa. And if that's the case, the Reisha, the Mishnah must be like Rabbi Akiva, and must be its Rabbi, even Nasav ala Alibi B'Tanah. But either way, this was Rabbi Yosef's Raya. So who brought the Raya? Rabbi Yosef. Who's not going to like the Raya? Only Abayas. Abaya told Rabbi Yosef. He said, one day we have to tally up all these. It's a lot. Bishloimo Iyashmi Inon Chalas Chutz La'aretz Ba'aretz. Said Abaya, I'm not masking to the Tushal. Meaning it's good, but I don't agree. He said, Bishloimo, if the Mishnah would have said that you're allowed to eat Chalas Chutz La'aretz in Eretz Yisrael. So if a kohen is sitting down with his Chalas Chutz La'aretz sandwich, and he's going to sit at the same table with a zar, who's not allowed to eat the chalas chutz la'aretz, with the rabban. And this is taking place in Eretz Yisrael. And you're telling me that it's okay. V'lo gazrinan, ikala mishpah mina, I would hear everything that you're saying. Elo, but Mishnah didn't say that. The Mishnah is talking where all of this is taking place in chutz la'aretz. This is happening in the United States of America. It's not happening in Eretz Yisrael. You need a long plane ride to get to Eretz Yisrael. Well, if that's the case, then maybe the reason it's mutter is mishum delekel amigzarhu. It's because really there's no mokum to be geyser atu. A real issa deraisa. Aval hacha, but over here, isharis lasuki oifu gvina. If we're going to allow you to eat oif and gvina together on the same table, maybe also lasuki basu gvina. Maybe you're going to end up eating basu gvina, umechel basu v'chalav deraisa. And if you do that, you're going to end up eating a regular basu v'chalav deraisa. In other words, what Abaye told Rav Yosef was that when we talk about making a gzeira, also lahalis ala shulchan, with regards to something that's asamid rabbanon, there's really two nekudas that you have to look at. Number one, should we make a gzeira? Don't put basar and gvina on the same table, because if you eat it, you're going to be over an isser. So there, I understand, it wouldn't make sense to say, don't put basar oif and gvina on the table together and eat from it together as a gzeira that you might actually eat the basar oif and the chalav, because if you would eat the basar oif and chalav, you'd only be over an issed rabbanon. So we're not going to make an issed rabbanon to prevent you from being over another issed rabbanon. And that, says Abaya, I hear, and I see that mafurish in the Mishnah and Chal. Because you see clearly that we weren't worried about making harchakas for issed the rabbanon. Because you see, the chalas chutz la'aretz, the kohen could eat together with the tzar on the same table, and we're not worried that the tzar might end up eating the chalas chutz la'aretz. And the reason is because to be concerned that they might eat is only a gzeira, and even if you eat it, it's only a gzeira up to the real chal. So therefore, it's a gzeira, the gzeira. I think for that you have a clear right. But when it comes to not eating basar oif on the same table together with the chalav, I think there's another reason, Zakt Abaye, you have to make a gzeira. Not just because if you're going to sit and eat this together on the table, you may end up eating the oif and the gvina. That I'm not worried about, because that's a gzeira, the gzeira. And that type of gzeira l'gzeira, I have a precedent from the fourth paragraph, we're not going to be goyzen for. But why are you not worried that if you're going to do this with oif and chalav, you may end up doing it with basa behema and chalav. And if you're going to do it with basa behema and chalav, and then you're going to eat them, you'll be over in this deraisa. Now I know, says Abai, that's also a gzeir, right? Don't eat oif and chalav on the same table. I mean, just don't have them on the same table while you're eating, because you might end up having basa behema and chalav together on the table. And then you may end up eating from the basar, behem, and the chalav, which would actually be an isadei rice. That's also gzeir l'gzeir. But being that Rabbi Yosef already proved, this is very nuanced, that you need a makar that you don't make a gzeir l'gzeir, not a medalim meaning gzeir l'gzeir, right? This is the type of gzeir l'gzeir that you need a makar that you don't make. So Rabbi Yosef, if you need a makar, you don't have a makar from chalas chutz laretz. The only part of this that you have a makar from chalas chutz laretz is that I wouldn't make a gzeir, don't eat it when it's on the table, you may eat it together, being that even if you ate it together, it would only be asam yishom gzeira. But that's only in a situation where even at the worst case scenario, you're not coming to an issa day raisa. But over here, it's much more olol that you could come to an issa day raisa. Because if you're going to eat oif when there's gvina on the table, you might eat behema when there's gvina on the table. And if you eat behema when there's gvina on the table, you may end up going ahead and actually eating the behema together with the gvina. Now, I know that's also gzeira l'gzeira. But the bottom line is, you need a makar in the sugya that you don't say gzeira l'gzeira. Again, Tosis already was my why? But that's what's mavur. You need a makar, and you don't have a makar that you don't make such a gzeira l'gzeira. Just explain this a drop better, right? Why do you have that second chshash when it comes to basa v'chalav? You don't have the second chshash when it comes to chalav. The Gemara spoke it out. It's because in the sugya basa v'chalav, it makes sense you should have to be gzeir up to the real the dairaisa. Why does it make sense? Because I live in a house where I have oif, I have behema, I have everything. So if I'm going to put my oif together with the gvina on the table while I'm eating, so I may end up doing it with the basa behema, and then I may end up eating the basa behema together. But when I'm in chutz la'aretz, I don't have chalas eretz yisrael. And even though chalas chutz la'aretz is asam mishum gzeira atu chalas eretz yisrael, but it's a full step removed. I don't really have it here. Being that I don't really have it here, so to make akzak gzeira l'gzeira, don't eat together with a koyein, you're a zar. Don't eat together with a koyein who's eating chalas chutz la'aretz on the same table. Because what? Because you might do it with chalas eretz yisrael, and then you're going to eat the chalas. There is no chalas eretz yisrael. What are you talking about? So a direct comp to tell me that you see you don't make a gzeira l'gzeira, don't say also l'halis ala shulchan, otu I might eat that thing together that you have. But you don't have a direct comp, you don't even have anything close to a direct comp, that you wouldn't make a gzeira. Don't put this derabbanan digga things on the shulchan together, otu you might put the deraisa digga things and you might eat that together. Because in the case of chala, you don't have the deraisa digga things here. Here you do have the deraisa digga things here. So maybe azasar gzeira l'gzeira you would make. And if that's the case, Amalei Abaya, again, nuanced, to Rav Yosef, I hear a partial raya to what you're saying, but a maisa, complete raya, I don't have either way. So Rav Yosef said, I thought I have a geshmaka raya, that the Tana, the Mishnah holds the basar oif v'chalav is an issa dei raisa. Abaya said, I disagree. But the Gemara has one kasha, and this kasha is not only a kasha on Rav Yosef, it's really a kasha on the entire Mishnah. That is maskef l'Rav Sheishis. Rav Sheishis asked the kasha, soif soif tzayin b'tzayin hu. This whole idea that you're not allowed to sit down and eat the meat on a table if there's going to be gvina there because of gzeira, why isn't it always gzeira l'gzeira? Even if it's basa behema, it should be gzeira l'gzeira. Nothing to do with this aforementioned Shmuzak Rashi. B'chlal, there should never be such a... This whole line of the Mishnah, I don't really understand. You know why? Because the only time there's an issa basa v'chalav deiraisa, so we said, is if it's derech bishul asur teira. But if the basa is going to be tzoynein and the gvina is going to be tzoynein, right, they weren't cooked together and they're not mamish boiling hot, so that if they touched each other, you know, they could be baileya and maflit from each other. In that kind of situation, even if you ate it, it wouldn't be a basa v'chalav deiraisa. So isn't every type of situation like this anyways going to be a basa v'chalav derabanan? So if the Gemara soif soif tzoynein but tzoynein, why is this b'chalav basa v'chalav deiraisa? Amar Abaye, Abaye said, gzeira shemayala be'ufis reiseach. No, because sometimes people used to put the food on this very hot tray, this boiling hot tray, and if that's the case, it's very yitachin that the bas and the gvina are going to touch each other, and that's what we're worried about. But the Gemara says, soif soif klisheinu, even if you did that, but isn't that a klisheini? And we know klisheini, even if it's yatzei ledes, but it doesn't have the ability to be mevashel, not in Hilchas Shabbos, and not in Hilchas Basa v'chalav either, right? The klisheini ain't a mevashel. The Gemara says, l'gzeir shemiyala b'ilfas rish. Yeah, the gzeir is, sometimes they used to, literally, right, you take the pot and you put it right onto the plate, it has some fancy name in the restaurant, so if you're going to go ahead and you're you're going to do that, then you're going to have Basra and Gvina together. It is all that this can come to a real Issa Deiraisa, and it's for that reason Chazal in the Loi Plug Dig Away said, meaning if the only way or in every situation would be only an Issa Derabanan, then Chazal would not have made this Gzeir. But being that it's very possible it's going to come to an Issa Deiraisa, it's for that reason that Chazal did. A little more Gemara or Mishnah. Ha'if Oyla Magvina Ala Shulchan. Oif is allowed to be on the same table with Gvina, meaning if you're eating oif and you want to have Gvina next to it, that's going to be okay. However, the Einoi Nechel, you can't eat it. Divrei Beishamai. Azoi help Beishamai. Ubisul Oim. Ubisul says, you're not allowed to have it on the table together and you're not allowed to eat it together either. By the way, the Stam Mishnah earlier, which said, all basa chutz midagav v'chagavi and alad have on the shulchan was clearly going alibid beisol. Amar Rabbi Yosi said zumi kula beisham bichon beisol. This is one of the very few cases where beishamai is meikol and Beis Hillel is machmer, right? Beis Shammai says you want the oif and the gvina on the table together while you're eating, it's okay. Beis Hillel says it's not okay. By definition, Beis Shammai is being mekel, Beis Hillel is being machmer, and this is one of those examples. Beis Shulchan Amru, what Shulchan Bechlal are we talking about? It's Davka be Shulchan Sha'oichel Olav. It's the table that you eat on. But the shulchan where you just put the food out on, the smorgasbord, you could have one next to the other, and in that situation, you don't have to be worried. Zok de Gemar. The Mishnah began, Ha'if oile magvin ala shulchan, ve'enoi nechal, divrei beishamai, beisol oimrim le oile v'le nechal. So again, the Mishnah is talking about basar oif and gvina. It's discussing having the two on the table while you're eating. So I'm eating oif, I'm going to have gvina. I'm eating gvina, I'm going to have oif. According to Beis Shammai, they could be on the table together. They just can't be eaten. Beis Hillel says, obviously they can't be eaten, but they can't be on the table together either. In other words, our Stam Mishnah in the beginning of the parak was Alibi de Beis Hillel. Rabbi Yossi said, you should know, this is Mikule Beis Shammai and Bechorme Beis Hillel. The Gemara assumes that Rabbi Yossi is coming to add something. Right? He's coming to be Mechader something in Allah. He's not just making a cool observation, right? He's coming to actually say something la'alacha. It's not clear what he's coming to say. Rabbi Yosef, right, the Gemara, Hainu Tana Kamo. I mean, he's literally the Tana Kamo. You'll tell me, Achil Guf Igbe Nayu. Maybe Rabbi Yosef was coming to say a chiddush. He was coming to say that even Achila Alibe de Beis Hillel is going to be mutter. Meaning, this is not just Mikula Beis Hillel that Beis Hillel allows them to be on the table at the same time. It's Mikula Beis Hillel that Beis Hillel even allows you to eat it together. Well, how so? The comment Tanakama Balakam Iflagi. The Tanakama said that Machlis B'Shaim Beis Hillel was whether or not they're allowed to be on the table together. But as it relates to Achila, everybody holds it's going to be Aser. For Rabbi Yosi, and Rabbi Yosi said Achila Guva Mikula B'Shaim Mechumi Beis Hillel. Then no, I think even Achila is the same way. But the Gemara said it's not true. But Tanya went to the Brice. Rabbi Yosi says Shishadvar Mikula B'Shaim Mechumi Beis Hillel. There are six times when B'Shaim Bishol argued, and Bishami was Mekel, and Bishol was Machmer. Vizu Achas Mehen, and this is one of them. Oif Oile in Magvina al Ashulchan. Ve'enoi Nechol. Divrei Bishami. Bishol Leimer Loi Oile V'Loi Nechol. So it's clear that what's Rabbi Yosi's version of this Machleis Bishami Bishol? It's only with regards to whether it could be Oile or not, not whether it could be Nechol or not. There's no Rabbi Yosi that holds that Alibi the Bishol it could actually be eaten together. So again, what's the Kash? No, what is Rabbi Yosi coming to be Mechadish? Rabbi Yosi Hainu Taina Kama. So as the Gemara Ela Hakamash Malan. Now I'll tell you what's going on here. You know what's going on? The Tana, the Mishnah, wanted us to know that Man Tanakama, who is the Tanakama? Rabbi Yosi. And why do we need to know who the Tanakama is? Why can't he just be the Tanakama? The reason is because V'chala Oimer David B'Shem Oimrei Mei V'Gula La'Olam Shenema V'Atoimer Esther LaMelech B'Shem Mardchai. Right, Esther said B'Shem Mardchai, and then the Geula came. So when you say B'Shem Oimrei, that brings the Geula. So the reason we mentioned it's Rabbi Yosi is just to know that you're right. There's no Chiddush over here, but it's just because you're saying over from somebody, you have to give credit to the person you're saying over. Yesterday's post game, but the bottom line is Kala Ayim Adav B'Shem Maimrei Mevi Geula, and that's the reason this is mentioned. Now, if the purpose of mentioning Rabbi Yosi in the Mishnah is because Kala Ayim Adav B'Shem Maimrei, then why don't you just say Rabbi Yosi in the beginning of the Mishnah? We should have started with Rabbi Yosi. So it's Rashi's Kasha, Dibra Maschel Kala Ayim Adav B'Shem Maimrei V'Hatana Shochach. So Rashi, the Tana forgot when he opened up the halacha, he forgot to say Rabbi Yosi. For like his kishmai betchila, because of his kishmai, he could always make up for right. Stealing somebody's Torah. So you can always say, yeah, you know something, I should have given credit where credit's due. Hatana shochach, v'lo hiske shmoy betchila v'chaza v'hiske shmoy. And then afterwards he came back and he decided to mention his name, and we are going to not stop here, but exhale here and pivot to a little bit of rate. So the topic of this next perek here in Maseches Chulin, Perek Kol HaBasar, is the laws of Basar V'Chalav. So we gave a tiny bit of an introduction to Basar V'Chalav in the Hakdama to the Daf, but I think it's kedai now to delve in a little bit more specifically into the Pshutai Shal Mikra of the Isser of Basar V'Chalav. So it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah you're not allowed to eat Basar V'Chalav together. What it does say in the Torah is, you're not allowed to cook a goat in its mother's milk. And the Torah doesn't say it once, the Torah doesn't say it twice, the Torah says it's simdritimu. And from there, Chazal learned that not only are you not allowed to cook Gediba Chalev Imai, you're not allowed to eat Gediba Chalev Imai, you're not allowed to have anah from Gediba Chalev Imai, and it's not only a Gedi with its mother's milk, but it's true for all Bas V'Chalev, and it's from the three mentions of this pasuk in the Torah that we know this halacha of the Isser Basar V'Chalav. If you think about the Isser Basar V'Chalav from a Pshutai Shal Mikra perspective, I think it's fascinating. The questions, the observations literally jump off the page. Number one, you're not allowed to eat Basar V'Chalav together. Yet the Torah never said that you're not allowed to eat Basar V'Chalav together. The Torah said Lo Yisavashal three times. And from the extra mentions, we know that not only you're not allowed to cook Basar V'Chalav together, but you're also not allowed to eat Basar V'Chalav together. But at the end of the day, the Torah never said, thou shalt not eat Basar V'Chalav. The Torah said, thou shalt not eat Nevela, thou shalt not eat Trefa, thou shalt not eat Eva Menachai. The Torah said, thou shalt not eat the Gedanosha, thou shalt not eat the Chazer. All the things that you're not allowed to eat, the Torah says, thou shalt not eat. The Torah never said, thou shalt not eat Basar V'Chalav. And at first glance, what's Basar V'Chalav? Additionally, why does the Torah say it only with regards to the Gedi? The first Rashi in Perek Kol HaBasar, that the reason the Mishnah says Kol HaBasar is because you would have thought from being Mavis Sedra, maybe it's only the goat. But as it relates to all other animals, or Chayis and Oifis, I would have thought maybe not. Kamash Malon, that Kol HaBasar is going to be Asar. But from a Pshutai Shal Mikra perspective, why does the Torah say Gedi? Also, why does it say Bechalev Imai with its mother's milk? What does its mother's milk have to do with anything? Not letting a cheeseburger, whether the cheese was made from the animal's mother's milk or wasn't made from the animal's mother's milk. Here's another question. The Torah does not mention the Isser Basar V'Chalav in Parsha Shmini, which is the primary makom where the Torah talks about all the machalos asuros. The latter part of Parsha Shmini. It doesn't say it over there. It doesn't say it there. Where does it say it? It says it in Parshas Mishpatim. It says it in Parshas Kisisa. And then the third time it says it in Parshas Re'eh. Now to be fair, in Parshas Re'eh, it is mentioned in the context of Machalos Asuras. In fact, the beginning of the Pasuk is Lo Yisoichel Kol Nevelo, La Ger Hashem B'Sharecho Titneno Va'achol Oy Mocher L'Nochri, Ki Am Kodesh Atol Hashem Alikecho, Lo Yisavashel Gidi B'Chalei V'Moy. Right, and that's how we end that Aliyah. But in Parshas Re'eh, in Mishnah Torah, there it is lumped together with Machalos Asuras. But in Parshas Shmini, which is the Ikar Parsha of Machalos Asuras, it's not mentioned. It's even more than that. The Torah mentions it twice in Sefer Shmos. Torah mentions it in Parshas Mishpatim, and then literally two Parshias later in Parshas Kisisa, which, if you add that to the one in Parshas Re'eh, that's the three mentions that we have. Why would the Torah mention it twice in succession, so close to each other, in such close proximity? And Bechal, why is Torah mentioned it three times? How many things is it saying in the Torah three times? Not a lot. Three times? Why would the Torah mention this three times? Also, you haven't noticed the context in which it's mentioned in Parshas Mishpatim and in Parshas Kisisa? It's the identical context. It's talking about the Yomim Tovim. Shalish regalim tachag li bashana. Es chaga matzis tishma shivas yom teichal matzis kasher tzivizich lamoyed chodesh avi kivoy yatsasim yimitzroim v'lo yiro panay reikam v'chaga katzim bekuri masach asher tizro shalish pomim bashana yiro lo yisiz bachal chomitz dam zivchi reishit bekuri amas chatovi beis Hashem alakecha lo yisiv ashel gidi bachalei vima. And in Parshas Kisisa, it's the same exact thing. Right, all three times it ends in Aliyah. But again, the two times it's mentioned in Sefer Shmos, it's mentioned in the context of the Shalish Regalim and in the same pasuk as the Bikurim. What in the world is going on over here? It's It's mamish einoy oimer elador sheni. I don't think there's a pasuk in the Torah command that's more einoy oimer elador sheni. Again, we know what pasuk v'chalav is without learning the perek. This is not a spoiler alert. If it is, you got to go back to cheder. We know a Jew's not allowed to eat meat and milk together, right? This is aleph beis ben benoy shel aleph beis. Torah doesn't say anyway and not allowed to eat meat and milk together. It says leisavash kli b'chalav imay. And with all these different diktukim, at first glance, it's really, really something that from a pshutai shel mikra dikra perspective is hard to make sense of. Truth is, if you take a look at the Rishonim, nothing fancy. Just open up the Makoros Gedolos and get to work. If you take a look at the Rishonim, it's very, very clear that all the Rishonim, without fail, maybe with the exception of Rashi, but all the Rishonim were very, very bothered by this kasha. Ad kidei kach, that if you go through the Rishonim al HaTorah, you're going to find so many different pshatim in terms of what the pshutai shel mikra of the Isser Basa V'Cholav is. Just to bring out the point a little bit. The Ben Ezra, the Rashbam, and the Ramban in Parshas Re'eh, mysteriously, not in Mishpatim, not in Kisisa, but in Parshas Re'eh, they all say that the reason the Torah said, the Pshutai Shal Mikra of the Lav, not the Perikola Basar, Digger, Nusach of the Lav. But the Pshutai Shel Mikra, the Lav, is because for a person to take an animal and cook it in its mother's milk is Midas Achzarius. It's Midas Achzarius. In fact, all three of these great Parshanim, Ebn Ezra, the Rashbam, and the Ramban, right? The three all-time great Rishonim in the world of Pshutai Shel Mikra. They all had the same exact tushdals. They said, this is like the lav in the Torah of Oysoi ve'espenoi lo'yseshchatu b'yoymechon, and it's like the lav of the Torah of Shiluach HaKan, which is all based on a Midas Achzorius, that a Yid is supposed to be civil, and you're supposed to be sensitive, even to the behemoth. And as a result, if you're going to go ahead and you're going to shecht Oysoi ve'espenoi b'yoymechon, that's a Midas Achzorius. And lo'ysikoch e'mal abonim, because it's Midas Achzorius. In the same vein, don't go ahead and cook the goat in its mother's milk. And that is what the Pshutai Shel Mikra is coming to teach me. The Pshutai Shel Mikra is not coming to say, don't eat meat and milk together. That's in the Torah Shel Baal-Peh. But in the Pshutai Shel Mikra, what the Torah is saying is, don't be an achzar. This is not Hilchas Macholis Asurois. This is Hilchas Midas Achzorius. Just like Oysaves Benoy, Seshchat Be'em Echetz Parshas Emor, and Loisikachem Alabonim is in Parshas Kiseitse. Loisavash Gribechalevimoy is in Parshas Mishpatim and Kisisa. Right, that's where it is. Because these are lavin, or it is a lav that's related less to macholoi sasurois, and it's related more to a yid has to be oiska arbit, and he has to be sensitive even to the behema. It's related to oisav es benoi, and it's related to the idea of loisikachem alabonim. In fact, Rashbam adds, he says that, why is it that in Parshas Mishpatim and Parshas Kisitz, the Torah put it in the context of the Regalim? So I think it's very simple, because during the Yomim Tovim, people used to shecht a lot of animals. Right? It was very shchiach. It's very festive. You're shechting a lot of animals. So being that you're shechting a lot of animals, so it's for that reason, that's when it's appropriate to, you know, tell me halachas of shechita. What is this reminiscent of? Where does it say, we made a big deal about this. In Parshas Emor, right before the Parash of the Mayadim. There too, right? It's mentioned right before the Parash of the Mayadim. Why is it mentioned over there? Again, the Rishonim speak out, because in the context of the Mayadim, when there's a lot of Karbanos that are being brought, so you have to know what to be sensitive of. Befrat, you know, when there's so much happening, so you may tend to be a little less sensitive. So therefore, the Torah needs to warn you, and the Torah says, you know, be careful. Today's the day you're going to shecht all these karbanas. Oysev espenoi lois nishchatu b'yaymechot. Right, a barbob prokem bashana, the meicher has to say, biti mecharti, ima mecharti. Right, because yom tovim time, that's when you have to be a little bit more careful. In that same vein, says the Rashbam, that's why it's being mentioned in the context. That's why it's being mentioned in the context of, that's why it's being mentioned in the context of the regal. Another Mahalach in the Rishonim, in terms of understanding the Pshutai Shel Mikra of Lo Yisavash Lo Gedi B'Chalei V'Imoy, is in the Rabbeinu Bechaya. Rabbeinu Bechaya says that, I believe it's a chayk. And he brings rayas that he thinks it's like the Parah Aduma, the Sarim Mishtalech. But he says, if you want a pshat, I'll tell you the best pshat I can come up with. The Gemara says in Masechtas Nida that Dam Nechar V'Nasa Chalav, that the way a woman, when she's nursing, produces milk, the Dam, which would have been the Dam Nida, is Nechar, v'nasa chalav. We know Yid's not allowed to eat dam. But obviously, when the dam becomes chalav, at that point, it's not a problem. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya, I believe that when chalav is cooked together with basar, there's some chemical reaction that happens to the chalav where it gets the traits, the latent traits of dam that are hidden inside of it. And it brings out the dam shaboy. And that's why the Torah said, don't cook meat and milk together and then eat it, because if you're going to do that, you're going to violate the Isser of Achilas Dam. This is what Rabbeinu B'chaya says. Why is it mentioned in the context of the Regalim? Says Rabbeinu B'chaya, because we know that if a person eats Macholis Asuras, it creates a Timtum Aleif. We spoke so much about this in the beginning of the Masechta. Right? It creates a Timtum Aleif. And on Yontif, that's a time with this Hashpois of Ruchnius in the world. Befrat, when the Yidden used to be Oilu Regal, and they used to literally, on some level, see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in order to be able to tap in, for your antennas to be sharp, so you need to make sure you have no Timtum Aleif. So it's during that time that the Torah gives this extra warning, this extra azara, and says, because you're going to reinvigorate the koyach adam that's inside all chalav, and you're going to end up being over the isner of achilas dam. If you take a look at the Sefer HaChinuch, this is a mitzvah samach tzadik beis. The Sefer HaChinuch says that if you want to understand the isser basav chalav, take a look at what I wrote in mitzvah samach aleph on the lav in the Torah machshef aloy sechaya. I took a look. Over there, the Sefer HaChinuch discusses how one of the ideas of Kishuf was to somehow mess around with the order of the world. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world with a certain order. L'mineyu is mentioned several times in the story of creation, right? Hashem wanted everything to be in a certain order. The Mechashvin used to take two things that are supposed to be, you know, traveling on independent tracks, and they would merge them together. And that, says the Chinuch, is part and parcel of ancient Kishuv, and this is part and parcel of what they used to do. And when a person messes around with the law and order of the world, what he's essentially doing is, he's somehow messing with the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to operate. That's the oimik of Lama Nikra Shmoy Kishuv Shemakhishin Pamalya Shamayla, because it literally, it alters, it causes nature to deviate and to go off track. But anytime you take two minim and you merge them, you're infringing on this concept of Kishuv. And he says that's why the Mechashvin used to love to do this. He says, that's why the Torah makes a big deal about not wearing shatnez. Who cares if you wear tzemer and pishtim together? It's because tzemer is supposed to be tzemer and pishtim is supposed to be pishtim. You're not supposed to put them together. That's why you're not supposed to sow two seeds that are different together. That's why you're not supposed to mate two different types of animals. And that's why you're not supposed to eat basav v'chalav either. So says the Chinuch, basav v'chalav, cooking basav v'chalav, taking these two independent things and merging them together, that's already getting involved in this concept of Kishuv, and it's for that reason this is something that's very, very chamer. If you take a look at the Bechar Shar, you won't believe what you're going to see. You know what the Bechar Shar says? One of the Bali Toisvis. He says, why is it that there's an Issa Basav Achal? What's Leisav Ashkli Bechalivimai? He says, no, you do Basav Achal in Pshutei Shal Mikra. Pshutei Shal Mikra. There's no way to reconcile this with Basav Achal. It doesn't make sense. It'd be in Parsha Shmini. So why does, or what does the Torah mean when it says Leisav Ashkli Bechalivimai? He says the word Bishal means mature, right? It means that it's not cooked the peiros, but they're fully ripened. They're complete. They're in this complete state of maturation. Says the Bechar Shar that what the Torah means when it says Leisav Ashkli Bechalivimai, it says Yontif time. And you have to bring karbonis. You need a lot of animals. You can have an animal, and you're going to say, you know, I'm not going to shech this animal now. Let me wait till the animal is a little older. Let me wait till it's more mature. It'll be more appropriate to go. Let me wait until it stops nursing from its mother. Says the Torah, don't wait until your gedi is mivushal, until it's fully mature, b'chalevimoy, until after it completed nursing its mother. No, you should go ahead and bring it as a carbon right now if you need it as a carbon. Says the Becharsha, that's why it's in the same pasuk as the mitzvah bikurim. Reishis bikuri ad mascha tavi beis Hashem alekecha. As soon as it starts to be mevaker, immediately, you don't say, let me wait until it's this big fancy watermelon. No, you take it right now. Reishis bikuri ad mascha tavi beis Hashem alekecha. And in the same exact vein, talk about a new pshat. The truth is, this pshat that the Bechor Shar says, I found in the Cheskuni. But you know, I found it in the Cheskuni in Parshas Kisisa, not in Mishpatim. In fact, in Mishpatim, The Cheskuni learns about Derech Pshat. He says, "No, it's a nisabas of a chal." But in Parshas Kisisa, and Machzach Nish Vissendig from what he wrote in Parshas Mishpatim, and all of a sudden he throws out the Bechar Shar's Pshat. I think it's Parshat, because in Pshutai Shal Mikra, the Cheskuni couldn't understand why the Torah would have to tell it to me twice. In Perakol Abasa, we know why the Torah told it to me twice and thrice. But in Pshutai Shal Mikra, why would the Torah tell it to me a second time? So the Cheskuni said, the first Pshat, the first time the Torah mentions it, come on, Bechar Shar, we're pushing our luck over here. Oh, but the second time already, there I can hear it. The truth is, if you take a look at the Das Kenan Bali Toisvis in Parshas Kisisa, also not in Parshas Mishpatim, I think the Diak is a richtige Diak. But if you take a look in Parshas Kisisa, listen to what he says. Lo yisavashal gedi mikan remez l'masha amru chazal. Lo yisa adam meinekes chaveira. Yevam islam edvav, also a big sugya in Perek Afal Pi Masechtes Ksubas. A man is not allowed to marry meinekes chaveira. So if a man dies and he leaves over an amana and she was a meinekes, she's in the middle of nursing, so she's not allowed to get married. Right? The Gemara says Chamir Sakante Meisura. Remember the Chassam Sofer, we had some raid bites from the Chassam Sofer, used to say that he never passed in Shailas about meinekes chaveira because he was always afraid. He was afraid to get involved because Chamir Sakante Meisura, and there's different clawless that was said about this Indian. But the bottom line is Lo Yisa Adam meinekes chaveira V'hachi Peru. Rucho says the Das Kenan Bali Toisvis, Loisavasho Bikdero Shabisha Bochavercho. Don't cook in a pot that your friend cooked in. Loitisa Grushosoy Almanusoy. Don't marry your friend's Grusha Almano, calls Mancha Hagdi, who had Tinoi Tzoruch Lachalivimon. As long as the Gdi, which is the child, needs her mother's milk, his mother's milk, if a child is nursing, loy sevashel, then don't go ahead and be mevashel. In other words, that's a kino, it's a euphemism for tashmish. Don't go ahead and marry her. So don't marry a woman that's nursing a child. Not a Gdi, this is not a behemoth, this is not a chila, it's not even bishel. I always look at the Taskein. Now, where does the Taskeinim say it in Parashas Kisis? Again, because the Taskeinim in Pshutei Shal Mikra is bothering. Why is the Torah telling it to me a second time? It must be there's another azara to be had over here. But now we're mamish running off. Of course, that in the Pshuta, these are the Rishonim al HaTorah. They're saying that Loisavash V'chavim doesn't even have anything to do with the love of Abbas V'chav. Perhaps the most famous Pshat in the Pshutei Shal Mikra of Loisavash V'chavim is the Rambam. The Rambam's in the Meir Nevuchim and Chelek Shlishi, where he talks about all these things, where he discusses the Tamei HaMitzvahs, and the Rambam over there says, I don't know for a fact. Imagine the Rambam says this. I don't know for a fact, right? There's like a Valin nearer the Rambam. He says, but I will tell you what my gut is telling me. My gut is telling me that once upon a time, when the Ivdei Avodah Zarah used to convene, and when they used to get together, specifically on their Yomim Tovim, they would take a goat and they would cook it in maybe their mother's milk. And this must have been some form of pagan worship. And the Torah is talking to the Yidden, and it's telling the Yidden that I don't want you to engage in the Avodah Zarah of the pagans, and therefore don't do this. Now, where or when did the pagans do it? They did it b'yom chageyim. They used to do it on their holidays. That's why when the Torah talks about yontiv, sholish pamim b'chani yirah kol zchurkas p'nei adon Hashem, you're going to be oyle regel. So it's dafke then that the Torah says, oh, you remember the shkutzim, the way they used to be oyle regel, those pagans, they used to take a goat and they would cook it in their mother's milk. You should not do that. But it's dafke mentioned in the context of the yomim tovim, says the Rambam, because now the Rambam says, I don't know this for a fact. And in fact, the Rambam adds to that. He says, I didn't find it in any of the books of the Karat Saba. So who was the Karat Saba? So these were the Ivdei Avodah Zarah that the Rambam talks a lot about in the Meir Nevuchim. Remember in the Chumash Shiurim on Shemois, we talked about the book Nabataean Agriculture, which, believe it or not, somehow survived some 11th or 12th century Arabic translation of it. But the bottom line is the Rambam says that he had the book and he read it, and when he read the book he understood a lot of the Mishpatei HaTorah because he was able to see some of the pagan customs and he chapped some of these zinyoni avodah zarah, what exactly they were referring to. So the Rambam says, I went through, you know, those svar, right? The Rambam says a lashon, every book that was on the topic that was written in Arabic he read. It's in the Meir. But the Rambam says that I read that those books, and I didn't find any mention of this. He says, but I'm telling you what, Libi Oymerli, this is my gut, says the Rambam. I think that this must have been some pagan custom, and because of that, the Torah said, Leisavash Gedi Bechalevima. Truth is, if you take a look at the Sfarna, in all three places that the Torah says, Leisavash Gedi Bechalevima, the Sfarna says this idea. In fact, the Sfarna says something beautiful. The Sfarna says that the pagans, they used to go ahead, and they would cook a goat in its mother's milk or something like that. And the reason they did it was because they believed that it would cause their peiros to grow better. Zok the Torah, that if you want your peiros to grow better, you don't go ahead and get involved in these pagan inyanim. If you want your peiros to grow better, you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to take bikurim and you're supposed to bring it to the Eibishter. Like the Novi Yecheskel said, v'reishis kol bikurei choyl v'kol trumas kol aniach brochel b'secho. That's going to give you brocha. So Zok the Torah, that a yid wants broch in his peiros, you know what you're supposed to do? Reishis bikurei ad mascha tovi b'es Hashem alikecho. And that, like the Novi Yecheskel said, will be v'haniach brochel b'secho. Don't get involved in that craziness. It's interesting. The Sfurah says in Parshas Mishpatim, he says it again in Parshas Kisisa. Both times he says it in the context of Peiros. In Parshas Re'eh, he says it again. There he doesn't say a word about Peiros. It would work for their behemoths. Why is he talking about behemoths? Because this is the one time where it doesn't say it together with Reishis Bikurei Ad Mascha Tavi Beis Hashem Lekecha. What's the context over there? It's in Parshas Re'eh. It's talking about all the behemoths you're not letting eat. And it's not Macholis Asuri Zokta Svurna. So what is the Pshutai Shal Mikra? Again, in Pshutai Shal Mikra, also must be because there was an element that it was a school of Peiros, and there was an element that was a school of behemoths, for cattle. So as it relates to Peiros, Reishis Bikurei Ad Mascha Tavi Beis Hashem Lekecha, Lois Vashkid Chalivimai. As it relates to Mikna, when I'm talking about different animals and different foods that you're allowed to eat, there too you should know Savashu Khalivimai. Don't engage in this Mishagas. That's not something that you're supposed to do. But the bottom line is that if you go through all these different pshatim, the EF Shalafartam, Kirabim Hey. It's fascinating how every region is trying to come up with a pshat of what Savashu Khalivimai means. As opposed to just saying, I don't know, learn Parakola Basar. Every child knows that you're not allowed to eat meat and milk together. It's a midas achzorius to cook the goat in its mother's milk. It's from the Chukei HaTorah, dam neker v'nasa cholov. It's related to kishuv. I mean, you have the B'char Shor and the Cheskuni and Parshas Kisisa that says that don't wait until the animal gets older before you go ahead and shecht it. It's related to the Isser to go ahead and marry a menekes. Wow. The Rambam and the Meira, that there must have been some pagan custom around the times of their festivals where they used to go ahead and do these mices. The Sfurna said this was like a big schooler back in the day. Everybody's also had schoolers. So this was like one of their big schoolers. They used to say, heebie-jeebie, and all of a sudden, boom, their parents are going to grow, and all of a sudden, or their cattle is going to multiply, and the Torah is telling you, don't do that. Reishis b'kuri ad mascha, you want a schooler, go to the Eibishter, go to the Beis HaMikdash, that's where your school is going to be. But the bottom line is, all these different pshatim, they're all coming because in the Pshutei Shal Mikra, there's so many ha'aris that jump off the page that almost force us to say that the Pshutei Shal Mikra of Leis HaVashik Libach HaLevimai. Now, how each pshat answers all the aforementioned kashas, that's homework. That's Tein L'chacham V'yech Gemoy. That's way beyond the scope of this Reidvai. But again, just to bring out the general point, you know, there's one very interesting thing, and that is if you open up a chumash and you take a look at the Targum Unkelus. What do you think Unkelus says? Lo yisavashli v'chalevimai. Right, Unkelus is the avi avoyis ha-parshonim. What do you think Unkelus says? Ready? Lo yisavashli v'chalevimai, lo yiseichlun b'sar b'chalav. Don't eat basar b'chalav. Don't eat a cheeseburger. That's what Unkelus says. And by the way, all three places that it says in the Torah, lo yisavashli v'chalevimai, Unkelus says the same thing. Lo yiseichlun b'sar b'chalav. And the truth is, all the Mefarshei Targum, they're very bothered. If you have the Sefer Parshega, and you can take a look, he has an Arichos there. They're all very bothered. They don't understand. Unkelus? I mean, Rishonim that try so hard to make the Pasuk work with the Sugyas Ashas, they're all saying these Pshatim. Unkelus, who's the Spitz Pshutei Shel Mikra, Leiseichlin Besar Bechalav. It's a fascinating discussion. And by the way, if you go through Sefer Parshegan, it's also insightful to understanding Unkelus's job and his avoida in terms of the way things happen. But I just want to end with one fascinating postscript. And that is, I saw in the Sefer Torah Shleim, I saw you like this, you have to make a beeline to Torah Shleim. You have to. Rav Menachem Mendel Kasher. And by the way, the real place to make the beeline is the Miluim, because he has fascinating Miluim, and this, you know, is going to be a topic. So sure enough, I saw in the back of Parshas Mishpatim, and it's Mispar Chaf Aleph in his Miluim. He has a whole Arichos. He brings Shitas on top of Shitas on top of Shitas in terms of understanding the Pashup Shat in Lois of Ashok Diba Chalevimai, and then he brings something fascinating. He says that Between the years 1921 and 1941, there was a very important archaeological find in Syria. They found tablets that today are known as the Ugaritic tablets. I hope I'm saying that right. But the Ugaritic tablets. And these tablets and the texts on the tablets, they trace themselves back to the times of the Avos HaKadosh. And there's one line, I'll read it in English because I don't speak fluent Ugaritic, but I'll just read it in English. It's literally hieroglyphics. But in English, it says as follows. It's talking to the Avodah Zarah. So it says, L'chvoid, hi, Avodah Zarah. It's literally what it says. I can't even read it on the share. But it says, L'chvoid, this Avodah Zarah, and it's speaking to it in a very respectful way, and it's telling you, you know, what are you supposed to do when you're going to come and celebrate this Avodah Zarah? This is what you should do. Quote, cook a kid in milk, a lamb in butter. Cook a kid in milk, a lamb in butter. Zokter of Kasher, in 1921, this was like a 20-year excavation, but during that kufa, they uncovered tablets that said what the Rambam felt in his gut. The Rambam said, I don't know this for a fact. The Rambam said, I never found this. But libi oimeli, this is what used to happen. And this was a pagan Indian. And because it was a pagan Indian, this is what went on. And he said, they found that they mamish have a find. And this mamish, it gave credibility to what the hergish, the libi nearer from the Rambam. What the Rambam thought, cook a kid in milk, a lamb in butter, which gives tremendous insight into Leisav Ashkeli v'Chalevim. But I'll just tell you something very fast, a postscript to the postscript. And this is also in the Miluim of Rav Nachum Mendel Kasher, but it's one perek earlier. This is in Perek Chaf, where Rav Nachum Mendel Kasher says that it comes out from the Rambam. Comes out from the Rambam with this archaeological kick. But it comes out from the Rambam and the Sefarna, these two G'dayli Rishonim. They held Leisav Ashkeli v'Chalev Imoy in the Pshutei Shal Mikra is related to Avodah Zarah. He says, if it's related to Avodah Zarah, I'm just thinking out loud. He said, there's certain anomalies that you find in the Torah Shabbal Peh of Basav V'Cholav that you don't find even with regards to other Macholis Hasuras. Number one, Basav V'Cholav is Aser Bahanah. Nevela is not Aser Bahanah. Trefa is not Aser Bahanah. We're learning Evi Menachai. It's not Aser Bahanah. We just learned Gid Anasha. Not Aser Bahanah. Right? Chazer is not Aser Bahanah. Yet Basav V'Cholav is Aser Bahanah. He says, why is it Aser Bahanah? Macholis Hasuras are not generally Aser Bahanah. Why isn't it Aser Bahanah? We had in today's daf, you make Zera L'Gzera when it comes to Basav V'Cholav. We'll see more about Gzera L'Gzera. But you make Gzera L'Gzera when it comes to Basav V'Cholav. What about the idea of waiting 6 hours between Basav V'Cholav? What's Pasha Pshan in that? Where'd that even come from? We're going to see it tomorrow's daf. The Gemara is going to say on Daf Kuf Hei Amid Aleph, that one of the Amiram said, I am like vinegar, the son of wine, when I compare myself to my father. He said, my father was so chashev, it was Marukfa who said this. My father was so chashev that if he ate meat on a Monday, he didn't have a coffee until Tuesday. He says, I can't go so far. I weighed Misuda L'Suda, which by the way, this is the Makar to the, is it Misuda L'Suda or is it 6 hours? The amount of time you usually wait between Sudas. But the bottom line is, I wait until the next, why would Marukfa's father wait a full day? He said, what's Pasha Pshan in that? Like, why is he waiting a full day? Right, it's fascinating, some of these chumras that you find when it comes to Basav V'Cholav that you don't find anywhere else. He says, a little bit more than that. It says, Basav V'Cholav in the Torah 3 times, right? We made it. Why would it say it 3 times in the Torah? 3 times. What does it say 3 times? Right? You don't find things that it says. You find so many times. Zokr Menachem Mendel Kasher. I'm going to tell you what I think is going on over here. I think what's going on over here is the Rambam, and what's going on over here is Rabbi Vadya Sfarna. What's going on over here is there was an Avodah Zarah to get element, and being that it's Avodah Zarah, that's what you find. Avodah Zarah is Aser Bahanah. By Avodah Zarah, you find Gzera L'Gzera. Avodah Zarah, you find Tzorich L'Sharish Achareh. Zir Hachrim Tachrimim. Can't even have it. Can't cook it. It can't be anywhere in sight. Can't create it. This is something that's so severe because of the Avodah Zarah to get element to it. If you understand that there's a Srach Avodah Zarah, he says, then already makes perfect sense. Then he takes it a step further. This would be a brilliant aside that we don't have time for now. But he says that the 2 times that the Torah mentions it, in Mishpatim and Kisiso, the Torah says it not only in the Parashah of the Mayadim, but you know what the Pasuk right before it is? Lo yisizbach al chometz dam zifchi. It's the pasuk right before it in Mishpatim and in Kisiso. It sounds like it had something to do with the Karban Pesach. something to do with chametz. The Korban Pesach we know was Mishchu Yetchem Me'avodah Zarah Ukhulachem. He has a brilliant thesis how the whole Issa Chametz, the reason you find by Chametz, by Yerub, by Yimotzeh, and Chametz B'mashu, and the reason you have a Bedika and a Bittel, all these different things. He says he believes it's related to the fact that Chametz represents the Avodah Zarah. The whole Avodah of Pesach was Mishchu Yetchem Avodah Zarah. That's what the Issa Chametz is. He says that's why you find Bittel by Chametz. The only other place in the world you find Bittel is you can be Mevatel Avodah Zarah. And you find you can be Mevatel Chametz because Chametz represents the Avodah Zarah. Right, remember when we learned the Haggadah Shal Pesach Shiur and we were talking about what's the Pshutei Shal Mikra of Chametz, and the Chidah brings the Ritvaz, the Ritvaz that said HaRemes Hu HaPshat when it comes to Chametz, because really the Pshutei Shal Mikra has no Havana. But Rav Kasha says that he believes it's because the Chametz represents the Avodah Zarah. But the point is, if Chametz represents the Avodah Zarah, so next to this Chametz you have the Issa Basa V'Cholov, because this is Taken Avodah Zarah the Gezach. But Al Kapanim, if you understand that Basa V'Cholov had a Shaychus, this is different than Nevela and Trefa and Chazer and Gedanosh and Evim Menachai. Those are Macholis Asurois. They're in the parish. This was Bishrashay, not Hilchas Macholos Asuros. This is Bishrashay Hilchas Avodah Zarah. And if you understand that it's Hilchas Avodah Zarah, that opens up a whole new Pesach. That's why we talk about it right away in Mishpatim, and that's why it's mentioned right away again in Kisisa. You have a kasha why the Torah mentions Avodah Zarah over and over and over again. That's never going to be a kasha, because that we know. The Ramban already says Avodah Zarah is Chazed Iber Shabbos, right? The two things that are Shachar Kenegad, all the mitzvahs are always being Chazed throughout the Torah. I found that there was a yid, a tremendous, tremendous guy who we've all benefited from, perhaps unknowingly. His name was Rabbi Yehuda Cooperman. So who is Rabbi Yehuda Cooperman? Rabbi Yehuda Cooperman is the Magia. He's the one that wrote the Haggayis on the bottom of the blue Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma that everybody uses, that has brilliant Haggayis on the bottom, that you couldn't learn Meshech Chachma without. So it was written by this yid. His name was Rabbi Yehuda Cooperman. He passed away like 10 years ago in Eretz Yisrael. And he was a tremendous guy, specifically in the world of Pshutei Shel Mikra. He opened up the Meshech Chachma for the world. He was the Goyin and world-leading expert in all things Meshech Chachma. It's not even close. And he also did a lot of work on the Netziv and the Ksava Kabbalah. He was a very Pshutei Shel Mikra de Geyed. In the beginning of every Meshech Chachma, again, I think this is Kamad, I'm going out on a limb here, almost every Sfar and Shank in the world. So if you open up, in the beginning of Bereshis, the first volume, he has a Mavoy. It's 14 Prakim long. And the purpose of the Mavoy is, this is so brilliant, it's to extrapolate from the Meshech Chachma the way he approached learning Chumash. So we know the Meshech Chachma is, right, in the conversation, the most brilliant modern Pirush Al HaTorah of all time, right? It's not even close. But one of the things, for those that are familiar a little bit with classic Meshech Chachma, is that Rav Meir Simcha learned Pshutei Shel Mikra. And he had a very novel approach to Pshutei Shel Mikra. So Rav Cooperman writes a Mavoi. It's 14 chapters. Each chapter is dedicated to another Shlav that he took out from Rav Meir Simcha in terms of the way he learned and he understood Pshutei Shel Mikra. Perek Beis is called Mahus HaMitzvah V'Tamei HaMitzvah. And the general theme is that Rav Meir Simcha learned, and he believed, this was a sheet of Ramea Simcha, that he said comes very much from the Meshech Chachma. You'll find it if you know how to find it. And that is that you have to understand the Tama Mitzvah, because the Tama Mitzvah shades and it colors the Torah Shabbat Peh of that Mitzvah. So if you want to learn Perek Kol HaBasar, you have to understand it's true for every mitzvah in the Torah. And Toich Dvarif in Perek Beis of this Mavoi, he gives an example. He says, I'm going to tell you the perfect example. It says in the Torah, Reish B'kuri Ad Masr Tov Beis Hashem Alekecho Lo Yisavash Gili B'chalev Imoi V'omnon Nishelis HaShayla Madu Adinei Basa V'chalev Enam Ksuvim B'vayikra B'parash HaShmini Perek Yod Aleph Asher Shama Torah Moines HaRashim Ma'arucha Shal Ma'chal Ma'asurim V'oid Nishelis HaShayla Ma Keshe Yesh Bein Dinei Bikurum U'bein Dinei Basa V'chalev And he goes on barichos and he says, but I think the pshat is, and he's trying to bring out a point, it's not a Ramea Simcha, but he's trying to say what Ramea Simcha would have said. And he says, based on what the Rambam said in the Moira, and based on what the Sephardi said, and we have this archaeological find. But the bottom line is, based on what the Rambam said in the Moira, what the Sephardi said, and that is, this is not Hilchis Macholos Asuros, this is Hilchis Avodah Zarah. He says, Lefi that you understand the location of the Azaris in the Torah. The fees that you can understand the Torah Shabbat Peh is mechaven to some of the things that Menachem Mendel Kasher wrote. Again, go through the two pieces and Yagadol of Reyoi, they'll complement each other. But the bottom line is, we're starting Perek Kol HaBasar. In the Pshutei Shel Mikra, it's an anomaly of anomalies. And it could be the Mahalach is, it's because Leisavashu Gadiba Chalevimai at its core is actually not Hilchas Macholei Sasurais. At its core, it's Hilchas Avodah Zarah. Hilchas Avodah Zarah. That opens up the Pesach to understanding the Torah Shebiksav of Leisavashu Gadiba Chalevimai, that the Rishonim struggled to be mefarish. Additionally, it opens up a Pesach to understanding the Torah Shebaal Peh of Leisavashu Gadiba Chalevimai, which Be'ezra Hashem, as we go through Perek HaLabasar, we're going to see is very much an anomaly.